Yeah, if you talk to yourself, you're not in bad company. David would actually speak to himself because he'd feel himself diminishing his faith, and he would talk to himself. Let's read what he says. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God.
Hey. Why are you so discouraged, O my soul? Hope in God.
We need to do that. I mean, don't do it in public, but...
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We often hear about Jesus becoming our Savior, but today Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of also making Him our Lord. As Savior, He rescued us from sin, but as Lord, He guides us into all that God has in store for us. But sometimes the journey can be hard, and we might be tempted to follow other voices. We need to constantly remind ourselves of whom we serve. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Who Do You Serve?
Hey, would you take out your notes with me as we talk about making Jesus not just Savior, but Lord? We've had a wonderful week with a Doing Church as a Team conference, but you know one of the things that I measure, and I intentionally measure, is this. Are people's lives being transformed? Are non-Christians becoming convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way? And just this last week, in the last 7 days, 121 people received Jesus Christ as Savior. Is that cool or what? 1 week. Then we have the 167 baptized. So I look at those to make sure that people are coming to Christ, because in the end, that's going to mean all the difference in the world. They're putting their faith in Christ. But as many of you have, and as I have, we've made Jesus Christ our Savior. Today, I want to talk to you about making Him Lord. They're not just necessarily the same. It's a different role. It's sort of like this. Picture yourself bound as a prisoner of war in a prison camp in the middle of rainforests or jungles spanning 100 miles in each direction. A rescuer that's acute in rescuing and very adept at rescuing people by stealth come in and they set you free. Now, they come in, pass all of the guards, pass all of the enemy, and they open the gates and you are now free. He is your rescuer. However, you still have 100 miles of rainforests in all directions. Now he says, not only have I opened the prison doors and you are free, but now you've got to navigate your way out. So I will now not only be your rescuer, I will be your guide. I know this area. Now, as you go, I would suggest you stay very close to this guide. You're free, but you're still navigating the surroundings. When you and I come to Christ, He has set us free from death, unforgiveness, and hell. But now, He doesn't take us home. He leaves us here in the midst, as the Bible says, of a crooked and a perverted generation among whom you must appear as lights in the world. So He says, not only will I be your Savior, I will be now your Lord. Your Lord. Now, we don't usually understand what that is, but today I hope we will comprehend that a little bit more so that we'll, when we say, I've received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it'll have a whole new meaning. Let's take a look at the scripture right at the top. What does being our Lord mean? Would you read with me in your nice thespian Shakespearean voice, 1 Corinthians 12:3? Clear your voices. Are you ready? All right, go. I want you to know that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, unless the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of this, you'll miss it. And let's say it again, now a little louder. The first one was pretty lame. All right, let's try it. Go. I want you to know that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Let me tell you a story. Anna and I, we had just been pastoring in Hilo for just a short time when a man who had been received Christ for only about 3 weeks, he was a Christian, came up to me and said, Wayne, you got to come to my house and see my prayer room. I thought, prayer room? I said, how long have you been with the Lord? He said, 3 weeks. I thought, here, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. I don't even have a prayer room. This guy must be like a saint. So I drove over to his house and went up a narrow flight of stairs. And sure enough, it opened up to an expansive room with a kneeler and this counter about eye level as you're kneeling. And here's this huge picture of Jesus. He said, isn't this great? Something was wrong, however, because next to the picture of Jesus was a picture of Gautama Buddha. And over here is Hare Krishna, Bhagwan Rajneesh, St. Christopher and Mother Mary. Now, the pictures were smaller and Jesus had the biggest picture. But I said, what are all of these other things doing here? He looked at me and said, I need all the help I can get. And I said, time out. No, you can't have all of these. He said, no, Jesus is number one in my life now. Since I came to New Hope, he is now number one. You should have seen how small his picture used to be. I said, no. Just a bigger picture doesn't cut it. He said, no, he is number one. I said, no, he can't be number one. He has to be the only one. He said, no, he's number one. I said, no, wait a minute. I'm at the altar with my wife-to-be, Anna. And what if I said to her, honey, you are the number one love in my life. Now, Betty is number two, and Susie is number three, but you're number one. What do you think she would do? She'd knock me into next Tuesday. No. I said to him, he can't be number one. He has to be the only one. Now, that was a pretty physical illustration of having other lords, but we can do the same thing. We might not have pictures. Let me explain. That's why Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4 says this. Let's read it together. Go. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth. You see, I was wondering about this when it says no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Ghost really reveals this to you and then you catch it. Otherwise, it'll just be a part of, it'll just be an extension of the sentence, just, you know, receive Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord. They don't just run together. It's he's rescued you and now he's your guide and you've got to follow him. And there's going to be other guides vying for your life. Because you see, the devil cannot steal your salvation and the fact that you've been freed, because that was the work of your rescuer, Christ. But he can now distract you so that you never get out. He can somehow vie for lordship and say, I've got a shortcut here. I've got a shorter way here. I've got a better way here. That's why Jesus says, I am not just your number one. I must be your only one. Otherwise, you will be distracted and temptable. And we've got to clear that. Well, the Lord used something early on in my life to show me this. And when Anna and I were first married, she worked at a locksmith shop, brought home a bunch of sample locks, and I'd installed them. So our doors were locked, windows locked, walls were locked, ceiling locked. Everything was just super secure. And I remember one evening, we were late for a dinner appointment, so she was up in the bathroom, you know, putting on her makeup and her massacre, whatever one eye, and whatever it is, so she's putting it on. And I said, honey, come on, we gotta go to the dinner, let's go. She said, I've got one eye left, I only got done one eye. I said, just put a patch over the other one, no one will notice, come on. She said, I'm almost done. I saw him pacing downstairs, like, come on. So finally she comes running down the stairs. Come on, get up. And so I close the door, bang, click, 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 choo, choo. So I go to the car, I said, all right, give me the keys. She says, keys? You're supposed to have the keys. I said, I don't have the keys. You better have the keys. She said, I don't have the keys. She looked in her purse. I don't have the keys. I said, I don't have the keys. You are supposed to have the keys. You're the wife. She said, I don't have the keys. I said, oh, man. So I said, you're kidding. So I tried the door, the windows, everything is locked. Oh, now we got to call a locksmith to come in. It's going to cost us a bunch of bucks. Oh, man. So I saw, kicked the tires. Oh, come on, honey. You're supposed to have the keys. Come on. She said, honey, let's pray. I said, don't touch me. You know, the funny thing was, after we finally got into the house, etc., the whole rest of the night was negatively affected because of that. I mean, we'd be driving to the dinner. She said, honey, what about... You know, well, honey... It was like my whole relationship with her just changed within a few minutes, from being husband to now being antagonist. Several months later, and it's in the sultry summer of the mainland, we went to visit our brother down by Antioch, Brentwood area in the Bay Area, and it was a Friday. He had to work, so he said, hey, barbecue's at 6, why don't you guys go into town, look around San Francisco, Ghirardelli Square, etc., and then come on back, and barbecue will be at 6. Now, he lives about an hour out of San Fran, so we figured we'd leave around 5, we'll be there in plenty of time. One thing you don't do around San Francisco, any large city, is you try to leave the city at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Because everybody and his dog is trying to get out of Dodge. And so we hit the freeway, and it is a gridlock, 6 lanes of freeway. And we're just broiling, and now I'm getting madder and madder and madder. And so here's another thing you don't do around big cities. Is you don't take the wrong exits. Because you don't know where that's going to lead you. And you've got to, like a lot of times, you've got to drive to Guadalajara, Mexico to get back onto the freeway. So I saw one coming up. I said, honey, I think that's the exit, isn't it? She said, I think so. I said, look at the map, quick. She said, opens it up. Oh, yeah, I think that's it. Are you sure? I don't know. You better be sure. I think it is. Tell me now. I think it is. So we take the exit. Wrong exit. We start driving through this sleazy neighborhood where people are like graffitiing themselves because they're bored. We lock all the doors, click, 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 and I hunker down like one of those, you know. Honey, get down, get down. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? And, so we finally go through this neighborhood, and I get out of the car and I says, honey, there's a wrong exit, and I don't even speak Spanish. What am I going to do? I kick the tire. She says, let's pray. Don't touch me. I remember walking under a tree thinking, God, what is going on? I remember the Lord pulling the scripture back, and it's like he said, Wayne, who's your Lord? I said, you are. He said, no. You see, who's your Lord is who determines whether your day is a success or not for you. Who's going to control your disposition, your decision-making, your choices? Who controls your relationship with other people that is so powerful that within 1 minute can change a committed husband into an antagonist, an angry man that could care less about this relationship? What has that much power? Well, it's who's Lord in your life. See, who's Lord in your life is the one who determines whether your countenance is up or down, whether you will have swear words or good words. Something you give over lordship to will have that kind of control. Then the Lord took me back to the time when we lost that key. And he said, now who was Lord back? Who changed your whole, just transmutated your relationship with your wife in just a few seconds? I thought, well, it wasn't Jesus. It was that lost key became my Lord. That lost key dictated everything about my marriage. And then he said, now who's your Lord here? Not me. And I thought, you know, it's the wrong exit. A wrong exit changed everything that fast. And then the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, Wayne, you know, you're going to have a lot of lost keys in your life and a lot of wrong exits. You better determine who's Lord, because I am not just your number one Lord. I am your only one, Lord. Otherwise, you will have other gods beckoning you for shortcuts, and then they'll twist you. You see, we can give lordship away freely, can't we? It could be an insensitive boss. All of a sudden, that's it. That's it. And you make decisions that can imperil your future and family. It could be a reckless driver on H1 that cuts you off. I'm going to shoot him. So what? You see that all the time. I was going down here. I pulled in front of a lady. I didn't think it was anything bad. I put my blinker on, pulled in, changed lanes. She got mad at me. And she's got a nice hairdo. Looks like she's coming from work. Had her, you know, her husband or something on the side. She was about 60-some years old. And she just went right up to me. And cut around me, pulled right in. I thought, what is going on? I thought, lady, you're too nice to be the devil. And then so I pulled out and she sped up, pulled in front of me like this and blocked me off. I thought, you're 60-some years old. I could deck you. Cut it out. And she was just turning me into a raging maniac. I thought, lady, you know, my car's a lot better than yours. You have this old Nissan Datsun, I think it was. It's like, and I got this Honda Acura. I mean, I can cut you off real good. And I thought, whoa, it's like, it's so easy to give over lordship to somebody else and let them dictate who I am. Happens all the time. Could be an adoring or doting coworker that looks at you and flaps her eyelashes, you know, whoa, all of a sudden you forget everything about your wife, your family, everything. All of a sudden you've given lordship over to somebody that dictates everything, changes your commitments, changes your faith, everything that fast. You see, we can have lots of lords if we're not careful. That's why Jesus says, I'm not your number one Lord. I am your only Lord. Then I began to understand when the Lord was saying, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how often we let other people be Lord. They just transmute us. We get so mad, the boss yells at you, and it infects everything else. All of a sudden, you're changed, you go home, you yell at your wife, and then the wife slaps her son. The son punches his younger sister. Sister kicks the cat. Rawr! Cat bites the dog. Rawr! The dog goes and bites the head off the doll. Isn't that right? Affects everything. I tell dads, when you get yelled at by your boss, just quietly go home, bite the head off the doll. Because it saves everybody in between. Who's your Lord? You see, it's so easy to give over lordship. If we're not careful, Jesus will be Savior, and He'll be one of my Lords. And so we understand where Exodus is saying, now, Wayne, don't have any other gods before me. Make no image, just don't give them any chance. Then I began to understand, So how do I keep my heart from drifting into giving lordship away? Because it can happen all the time. We're very susceptible. People can just yank our lives and yank our chain. And even though Jesus is our Savior, we're just yanked up and down all the time. Christians, but our life is so erratic because of all of the temptations of other guides saying, I got a shortcut, come this way. We end up at dead ends. How can we safeguard our hearts? I'm going to give you really simply three things to safeguard your heart from giving lordship away so quickly. And here it is, very simple. Number one, you got to find a way to remind yourself, or would you write in the blank, remember. Remember. Every single one of us has to figure a way to keep reminding ourselves of who's your Lord. I don't care if you've got to write it on a post-it note, stick it on your radio or the console of your dash in your car to just say, remember, Jesus is your only Lord today. Not just number one of many. He is your only Lord. Just somehow remind yourself. Remember that Israel kept forgetting. They needed reminders. That's why you will read, and we're reading now in Leviticus, you'll read all of the sacrifices and all of the holidays or feast days that the Lord institutes to what? To remind them, because we so often forget. Remind yourself. Figure out a way. How many of you admit it? How many of you need lots of reminders? Raise your hand. Yep. All of us do. We need reminding. That's just how it is. This reminds me of the story of this 85-year-old lady. She gets pregnant and has a baby. And so all of these newspapers, whoa, this is amazing. So Time Magazine sends reporters to her house and says, man, you're 85 years old and you have a baby. Is the baby healthy? Oh, yes, she said the baby is healthy. This is amazing. And so they interview her for a little while and say, can we see the baby? She says, not yet. Okay, so they interview her some more, and after about five more minutes, can we see the baby? Is the baby healthy? Oh, yes, the baby's healthy. Can we see the baby? Not yet. Well, so they keep interviewing her some more. After another 5 or 7 minutes, can we see the baby? She says, not yet. The reporter says, why? Why can't we see the baby? We have to wait until he cries. Reporter says, why? So I can remember where I left him. We all need reminders. But here's one of the ways that I remind or get reminded is I remind myself. I talk to myself. I know that sounds neurotic, but I talk to myself. Be honest, how many of you talk to yourself? Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah. There's medication for that. Yeah. How many of you argue with yourself sometimes? Come on, yeah. How many of you lose the argument? Yeah, if you talk to yourself, you're not in bad company. You see, David and Nehemiah talk to themselves. That's right. David would actually speak because to himself, because he'd feel himself giving lordship away to something else or diminishing his faith. And he would talk to himself. Let's read what he says by his own pen in 42 verse 5 out of the book of Psalms. Read it with me. Go. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Did you see that? I'm feeling a little discouraged. Hey. Why are you so discouraged, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God. You think, whoa. Yeah, we need to do that. I mean, don't do it in public. But isn't that true? You just need to see. Nehemiah does it even stranger. Let's read this next one. Nehemiah 5:7, go. I consulted with... What do you think, Wayne? Well, I don't know. What do you think, Wayne? Yikes. Might be a little dangerous. Yeah, that's true. Could we talk about this tomorrow? Yeah, all right. All right. See you then. Okay, bye. But Nehemiah, what is he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's simply saying, take time to deliberate within yourself. Is this the way you want to go, Wayne? Is that you want to chase after that lady? Is that what you, or just maybe the best thing is to get away? Because she is not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Yeah, true. You put on your brake and just kind of put some distance between. There's something happening at work. You think, okay, what's going on here? I feel my emotions going this way towards that lady or that guy. So, okay, let's just back it off here and just get away for a while. Move a different area. What you're doing is you're basically consulting with yourself is all. To make sure that Jesus is Lord and not her or him. So you're going to have to remind yourself. And that will help so much. So you can put a post-it sticker or you can remind and talk to yourself. There's going to be times your guide, who was your rescuer, will take you through the low valleys. And you'll wonder, what in the world are we doing? It's dark here. It's lonely. It's barren. What is going on? Although the guide knows the way through, you've got to make him your only Lord, because you're going to have others saying, I got a shortcut. Look at where you are. Look at that. Does he really care for you? If he cares for you, why did he take you through that low valley? I got a shortcut. Come on. That's why Jesus isn't our number one Lord. He is our only Lord. And we cannot give voice to our audience to these other voices. There's going to be times where God's going to take you through a barren season, and you have a choice to either fight with God or surrender. Here's my tip. Surrender.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, Who Do You Serve? By Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.